In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. British statesman and financier, wealthy guy, Cecil Rhodes left a large portion of his fortune to fund the Rhodes Scholarship. He was a stickler for propriety, a stickler for correct manners, for correct dress, but never at the expense of someone else's feelings. Once Mr. Rhodes held a grand dinner for a number of academic guests, and one graduate student did not have the money to afford high-end evening wear. When this young man entered the dining hall, he was dismayed to find himself so woefully underdressed. Not long after, Mr. Rhodes made his own appearance in a shabby old suit. The young man later learned that Mr. Rhodes had been dressed in proper British evening wear, but learning the young man's predicament, changed clothes at the last minute so that the young man would not be mortified. Why would Mr. Rhodes do this? Well, I think the answer is obvious. Mr. Rhodes had, with all his propriety, with all his position, with all his wealth, a spirit of kindness. You know, we've been reviewing the fruits of the Spirit and have touched on joy and peace and patience, and today arrive at kindness. And kindness is a movement of the Spirit in your soul that puts the needs, the status, the feelings, the integrity, the worth, the value of your neighbor at the forefront of your attitude and behavior, and to do so in gentleness. Kindness is one of those virtues we teach our kids as early as we can, right? Be nice to others. Be kind to others. It's also one of the virtues we value most in others. I think it's important for us to remember that kindness is an active virtue. Kindness is an active fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is not simply the absence of being mean. Kindness is not simply the absence of a passive-aggressive attitude or of rudeness. There's more to it. It's active. Certainly we'd want those things absent, but kindness is an active virtue, an active prompting of the Spirit within. Kindness prompts the Spirit to do extra, to do more, to put another person's needs and feelings and integrity at the forefront of our attitude and our behavior, and to do it in the spirit of kindness. Kindness is the act of the four friends who carried the paralytic to Jesus that we heard about in the gospel today. And we know from Mark's version of the story, Mark's account of the story, they didn't just carry him in the front door. There was a big crowd, if you remember Mark's version. And so they had to go climb on the roof and make a hole in the fellow's roof and let the guy down in. And then Jesus, seeing them, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Their faith had action to it. Their faith had kindness to it. Their faith had power to it because they used kindness to help their fellow man. How often do we not even take time for someone, let alone all the active actions necessary to truly show kindness? Like four men who helped lower a paralytic through the roof to find not only healing, but forgiveness and redemption. Let me ask you a question. Most of you are old enough to have met several different bishops over the years. Some have been very smart and scholarly and well-read. Others have been strong and strict and by the book, and still others have been particularly kind. Which of these three, the scholarly, the strict, or the kind, have made the most positive impact on your faith, on your spirit, and on your life? My guess would be the leaders who were particularly kind. The reason I bring this up is to take us back to the election of the Patriarch of Russia in November of 1917. Russia was on the verge of great turmoil with the communist Bolshevik Revolution, and they held a council to elect a new patriarch. And the names of the bishops with the three highest votes were put into an urn, and one name would be drawn. The highest vote getter was Bishop Anthony, whose qualities included strength and strictness and power. And lots of people voted for him because, with the fear of what was coming, they wanted a bishop that was going to be strong and powerful. A very close second was Bishop Arseny, who was an academic and scholar, and he knew his theology inside and out. And he got a lot of votes because the Bolshevik Revolution was, in large part, an academic, atheist revolution, and they thought, well, he could argue theology and outwit the atheists. A very distant third was a man by the name of Tikhon, a bishop who had labored tirelessly in America and was renowned for his kindness and compassionate spirit. And many of the voting delegates considered him too mild to lead the church through the turmoil that was to come. The names were put in a little cup, set on the altar overnight, and the next day at the end of liturgy and at the end of prayers, they pulled out one name, and Tikhon's name was drawn. God selected kindness over both knowledge and strictness. And that shouldn't surprise us, as neither knowledge nor strictness are fruits of the Holy Spirit. But kindness certainly is. And it also should not surprise us that in his ministry, Tikhon had plenty of knowledge and plenty of strength. He simply used those things in a way that demonstrated kindness. Saint Nectarius once said, "A Christian must be kind to everyone. One's words and deeds should breathe with the grace of the Holy Spirit. The graceful speech of the Christian is characterized by delicateness, politeness, and above all, kindness." For us, if the Holy Spirit is to continue to live in us and grow in our hearts, kindness is an essential fruit, a kindness that is active, a kindness that is godly, and a kindness that reflects Jesus Christ stamped in your spirit. Amen. Amen.